This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Good morning, Student Hour listeners. Thanks for tuning in. It is Saturday, August 5th, the final month of summer vacation for our KBPS radio broadcasting students. Hopefully you've been tuning in to check out Summer Sound 2023 only on AM 1450 KBPS Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., featuring our KBPS students working at the station during the summer. Lots of fun there. But popping on today to tell you about some concerts that are happening in our area today that I am particularly excited about. First off, I want to tell you who is playing at the Clark County Fair tonight. The one and only George Thorogood and the Destroyers. You might recognize him from Bad to the Bone or Who Do You Love? Classic rock and roll, been around for 50 plus years. I love George because it's a very special artist for me personally. The very first artist I ever saw in concert. I was thankful enough to have my folks take me to see George Thorogood opening up for ZZ Top when I was in second or third grade back in the mid-90s at what was then called the Rose Garden Arena. And the very first album I ever bought with my own money, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, the greatest hits album, and I still have it and love it to this day. I've seen George many, many, many times, and this will actually be the first time in many years that I'm not going to the Thorogood concert because I happen to have tickets to a different concert happening tonight at the Memorial Coliseum in Portland. This is now my favorite band. These guys have been my favorite band for the last going on 3 or 4 years, ever since I first discovered them. And this is their first trip to Portland in several years. I'm talking about the one and only Greta Van Fleet. Greta Van Fleet, the Star Catcher World Tour in Portland tonight at Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And if you're lucky enough to have tickets, you are in for a treat. Now, Greta Van Fleet just released their fourth full-length album just a couple of weeks ago. It's called Star Catcher, and we're going to listen to a couple of tracks off of that album. But I got to tell you about Greta Van Fleet. You may have heard of me talking about them if you listen to KBPS on a regular basis. We're playing a lot of the new Greta Van Fleet in our mix on KBPS because I'm just in awe of these guys. They are an American rock band and formed back about 10 years ago in 2012. They're based out of Frankenmuth, Michigan. And the four band members are two sets of brothers, twins Josh and Jake on vocals and guitar, and then Sam and Danny pick up the bass, guitar, keyboards, and drums. They were originally signed to Lava Records back in March of 2017. That's when they released their debut studio EP called Black Smoke Rising, and the debut single Highway Tune topped the Billboard U.S. mainstream rock and active rock charts for 4 weeks in a row. And it was around that time that I saw the music video for that song on the TV at the gym while I was working out, and I was in love at first sight with Greta Van Fleet. Their second album, their sophomore album, Anthem of a Peaceful Army, came out in 2018. Lots of great songs on that. We feature them on KBPS, When the Curtain Falls, one of my favorites. Their third album, The Battle at Garden's Gate, and now the fourth studio full-length album, Star Catcher, just came out third week of July in 2023. I've been waiting about 3 or 4 years to see these guys in concert. So excited about the concert tonight. Wanted to play a couple of their latest songs off the new album for you. Here's one of the big hits right now, getting a lot of clicks on Spotify and other streaming services. This is a new one from Greta Van Fleet called Meet the Master. You're listening to the Student Hour.
Thank you.
listening to the Student Hour. Previewing the big concert tonight at Memorial Coliseum, Greta Van Fleet on the Starcatcher World Tour. Here's another track off the new album.
Chickadee!
you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
Hello there, KBS listeners. I'm Chelsea Sfinity. I'll give you a quick backstory of why I'm a radio major. So, it all started during the summer of 2022, and I was traveling around a lot, and that got me thinking of wanting to go back to my roots of writing, because I wrote a ton over the time of quarantine. So in that time, I actually started to experiment with different forms of writing, and actually started doing some light poetry. Some of my works were really just based on the surrounding of when I was on a plane, actually. It was funny. I would write about how the clouds reminded me of the sea, or how I would compare the plane to a bird. It was a very fun activity to do while you waited for 2 hours to touch down, and then having to wait another five until you have to go down your next plane. It was fun. But I digress. What attracted me to radio itself was the aspect of being able to speak, be able to talk, be able to promote. Just, it was always something I enjoyed, was listening to the radio as a kid. I mean, I literally grew up with listening to 2000s country radio stations and always hearing them on our hour-long or two-hour-long trips. So it feels very special to me to be able to be one of those radio hosts. Which is why I always make sure to come in early in the morning, make sure to stay as long as I can to get some extra hours and to experience what it's like to be on a radio station and what inspires me to actually be part of a radio station. My stories I wrote have always had like a theme to them. They've always stayed the same story or with the same characters, but they always reflected how I evolved from one story being chaotic, unchanged, very, very unprofessional, basically, to my more recent one, which was very more professional, very more well-managed, and more focused on what it means to be a character. That's what the evolution of my characters have been focused on. As for my poetry has actually gotten better from my time in English and from my time in radio, is combining those different aspects to be able to write fluid and more content with similes. It has always been my passion to write and read. I mean, I literally grew up with more books than technology. While everyone got like laptops, iPhones, iPads, I had a good old library in my living room that I would always read. I think I read all the books before, but it sparked my desire for literature and the desire for knowledge. So being able to actively indulge in those activities really, really strengthened my character. And actually, this has a lot of my activities outside of school. See, I am a part of a thing called the Order of the Arrow, which is a top dog. Break off from what I also do is Boy Scouts. But a main thing they have in the OA is ceremonies. And being in the radio and having to do ceremonies was an amazing, amazing combination. Because instead of me having to memorize, I did memorize, but I also got to edit the script and also ad-lib when I needed to, because I actually forgot what I was going to say in front of 200 people, so I had to kick it in my radio brain and ad-lib my bit. But it was fun. Radio, I think, is like one of the biggest things that I've actually fully committed to ever since COVID. Like, everything has been slow, but radio is that one class that I'm like, let's do this. So excited to learn. I just can't wait to see what the next day will hold. Heck, when we first got our textbooks, I immediately started taking notes. Like, we got the notebooks or we got the textbooks, and then the weekend came, and I just spent my time near my fire just writing down notes for my textbook, so I was prepared for all the tests. So I'm pretty sure at this point that radio will actually become a big part of my life. I'm actually planning on taking one of the best community colleges for a radio major that you can get, which was the WSU campus, or WSU, because they have an amazing, amazing communication program. And funnily enough, I actually went there during the summer. It was the summer of 2022. And I went there, and it was just so much fun to be there, because I actually used to live in Washington. I lived there for 4 years. So yeah, 4 years of me living there, and I got to experience a lot of the Great Northwest up there. It was just amazing. I loved it so much. Then I moved down here. But yeah, that's really like the concrete, like, that's the lay that I'm giving out right now, is I love radio. Radio will forever be part of my life. All the skills I learned will forever be part of my life. It is the one class here that I went to that I honestly think I'll use in my everyday life, because it teach me how to speak in front of people. It teach me how to make scripts and write out things. I mean, heck, I don't know what time this recording will get out, but as of May 9th, 2023, 1431, I am going to be running for senior class president, and I am really banking off my radio career to make these scripts, to make this campaign, because I want to be able to use my skills and like hone them in so I can actually be a more professional announcer and just an all-around better person, because I honestly think that radio has made me better too at speaking and acting, because it just teaches you how to operate. I mean, and Mr. Patterson and me have been talking a lot, and we do agree that radio, I don't know if I've asked him about it, but I do not think radio will die, for the fact that radio will always be here, because it's a basic thing that they will install on every single vehicle you get. And sometimes people just tune in the radio on accident, or they tune it on purpose because they just need something to listen to. So I want to really hope that I can keep the radio stations alive. I don't care what a job I do. I just want to be able to make sure the radio stations always stay around, because it's such a big part of our, as humans in general, because as humans, we have evolved in technology so much, but we cannot get rid of the fact that we also made radio. That radio was originally just for military communication, and now you can use it to listen to your favorite tunes that just came out. That's what makes me most fascinated about radio, is how much it has changed over the many, many years. It is really shocking how much human evolution can go. But yeah, that's really about it about my journey and how I feel about radio. So the other half is actually going to be more about my own personal life. So that's also another thing that the listeners should know, is who I am. You only know me from the voice of the KPS, but you don't know me as who I am. So a little backstory is that I used to live in Germany for a bit, but I was way too young to remember, and it is one of my dreams is actually to go back. But I lived up in Washington, like I said before, for about 4 years. 4 years, I'm good. I lived up there for like 4 years. Then I moved to Oregon, and then I'm currently here. I don't think I've left yet. But I do go to college, I do plan on moving back to Washington, because, you know, gotta live near the college. But other than that, I have no real desire to leave the state, because I don't really got a lot of family out of the Midwest or the East. So there wouldn't really be no point in me leaving. Germany's the only real goal I have. some more personal things is that the fact that I've been in a thing called Boy Scouts for about, well, I've been in Boy Scouts for 6 years. I did Cub Scouts for 2 years. And I have been in the OA for about a year or two. Actually, I think I'm closing up on I'm closing up on my second year of being an OA member, which has been a lot of fun. But I think all those those skills, those things I've learned has really harnessed into making me a better person, a better scriptwriter, a better actor. Learning all those different things from just existing has really increased my performance. I honestly think, I think anyone can do radio. I honestly think anyone can do radio. If you have a voice and you have a passion to talk, I think you can do radio. I say do radio, not do radio good. Because there's a line you have to cross to be good at radio. Personally, I can't tell you what that line is because I'm not good at radio. I'm okay. But I want to make it to the point where I am good at radio, that I can even run my own show. Radio. Well, let me take that back. I could technically run my own show for the fact that I've been practicing different voices. No, I'm not going to do this on recording. You have to wait till a special event to hear all those voices. But that's what I'm talking about, is that for radio, you will need to learn how to speak. You will need to learn how to write. You need to know how to say when and when. You need to know how to make sure the music is at a good vibe. Because you can't put like heavy rock song and then a jazz song right after. It just won't mix well. You got to find something with like a similar tempo, similar vibe to it. Something that will not upset the audience with listening to. That is really the goal you have as a radio major, is to appease the listener. You want the listener to always stay in listening. You want them to always pay attention. You want them to come back. That's the main thing you want. Just like anything else in life, you make sure you want your customer to come back so you can get another paycheck. But yeah, I think, that's two good bases I just hit. I really hope that the listeners will take this into consideration, or at least like, I want the listeners to know that what I'm talking about is correct, is that anyone can do radio. You just need to practice, and you need to learn. Something else you need to know about, something you need to know about me, is that I always like to practice. I can always adjust. I want to make sure I got it going. I got it right. And some other things is that you also need to work well with people. I know some people can't do that, but you gotta work well with people, because you will sometimes need to run an airship with like somebody you don't like, and you gotta be like, you know what? Honestly, I guess I gotta work, gotta work. That's how you make the money. You gotta just keep on going, be smooth about it. So that's actually what radio also taught me too, is learning to work with people I don't really want to work with. Deal with people I don't want to deal with. Which has actually taught me to just be okay. I mean, I'll still dislike them, but I'll dislike them enough. I'll dislike them less. Or like dislike to a point where I can still be able to work with them, but still not like to hang out with them. That's my threshold. But if you ever do get on the radio station, you do hear songs like Oh Pretty Woman by Van Halen, My Hero from Foo Fighters, Underground by Joey Bounce & Bray, you'll usually find me, and you'll usually hear me talking either about stories about myself, you'll hear me announce myself, because I love telling people like, hey, we're live, we're not like everyone else, we don't have pre-recorded shows, we actually talk to you, the listener yourself. Because that's really the connection. That's the power of KVPS, is we can do so much in such a short amount of time because we are live, because we are always there. I mean, Mr. Patterson, when the day the time Michael Jackson died, he was there, able to hop on air and tell everyone about it. And that's the power we hold as radio students, is the ability to communicate to the world. That is our goal, is to communicate with the entire world and so they can hear our stories. I think that's just about it. I just want to say thank you all for listening. Again, I'm Chelsea Spinner with the KPS radio station, and I really hope all of you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
Recently, AM 1450 KBPS had the opportunity to speak with a Benson basketball legend, A.C. Green. A.C. Green was in attendance at the MLK Invitational Showcase Tournament at Lincoln High School that was being broadcasted on AM 1450 KBPS. And we spotted him in the crowd, invited him on air for a couple of minutes during a halftime show, and A.C. Green did not disappoint. Enjoy.
Well, did you guess our royalty yet? Did you say Damon Stoudemire? It's not Damon Stoudemire. Did you say Richard Washington? It's not Richard Washington. Did you say from the Benson High School class of 1981, an NBA champion player for the Lakers, the Suns, A.C. Green? If you said A.C. Green, you are correct. 33.3 seconds remaining here in the first half. Second quarter play at Lincoln High School. Westview on the inbounds will bring it up. Trailing really for the first time just in the last few seconds. John Dakin and Sean Phillipson along with Moto back here at Lincoln High School. Game one of our MLK Day Classic. And we have a score of Grant 33, Westview 27. We are very fortunate to be visited by a guest, one I described as PIL royalty, but much more than that. We're delighted to have with us for just a few minutes here, A.C. Green. A.C., thank you so much for joining us today.
For sure.
Really appreciate it.
Indeed.
When you were at Benson High School, class of 81, could you imagine facilities as nice as this? You remember that old gym over at Benson High School, I'm sure.
Yeah, fond memories. Smiles comes across my face as I think of all the blood, sweat, and tears in both those films over there.
Now, AC, I've watched you play since you were about 15 because I am a year ahead of you, a graduate of the former Wilson High School.
All right.
I was a student at a Pac-12 college where I watched your Ralph Miller squads, well, dominate my school. I won't say which, but let's just say that it's in Los Angeles and it's not USC. And then I lived for many years in Los Angeles and saw your Laker career. Do you miss playing?
No, you don't miss playing because you know that story, that journey, that road comes to an end eventually. But what you do take and you always miss is just the relationships you built over those years. And I was fortunate to have a 16-year NBA career. And you miss the guys more than anything else. It's just the fun, the daily going to practice, shoot-arounds, road trips, all the little quirks about each other, just fun stuff like that.
Well, I hope you won't mind my saying you look like you could play a little bit still. You look very fit for a man of, well, let's just say our age. And you have a family member on the court today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have a senior at Grant, Christian Green, and he's a guy who's, you know, grew up around basketball. His uncles have played, his cousins have played, in the PIL. All of them come out of different PIL schools, not only Benson, so I can't be biased. But they've also had a chance to play international ball and stuff like that in the pro level also. But he's had some, you know, college aspirations. Some schools are looking at him. We're talking about options and opportunities. And so it's exciting. It really is. And we had a former Oregon State alum, Gary Payton, who was just in town with his Lincoln University. And they came out and had a chance to take a look at him as well just this past week.
When you were at Oregon State, am I remembering correctly, was Mark Radford on the squad or had he already graduated?
We missed each other by a year.
That would have been my guess because I thought he was just maybe a year off.
Yeah.
Mark Radford was at a game at Jefferson High School a few years ago watching his daughter play for Grant.
Okay.
And he also looked like he could still suit up. So hats off to you guys who are maintaining your fitness. Now, I'm curious, in your Benson career, it really exploded for you in your senior year, if I remember correctly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Am I correct? Did Benson win the championship, the 3A championship back in 1981, or you advanced very far?
Yes, we did. We lost, we lost our fourth game of the year to Hillsboro High School at that particular time. And it was like number one versus number two at that time in the state. And then we won the rest of our games that year, beating Hillsboro in the finals at Memorial Coliseum at that particular time.
Back when it was still 3A, the Coliseum was the home of all of those games.
Yes.
And by the way, Hillsboro was an enormous high school because there was no Century or Liberty yet. I think that was even the year before Glencoe opened.
So right.
Big schools, big teams. Do you have any particularly fond memories of games at the old Benson Gym that stand out?
You know, those days, you just think back and you just reminisce and relish in the moments, the guys you had a chance to play with and you still have relationships with through a lot of social media contacts now. And just the fact that it was so much fun having packed gyms. I mean, everybody was there, your family standing up, you know, in the doorways, your parents sitting down in their normal spots. Just fun times. Just the enthusiasm of, you know, PIL basketball was just at its heyday at that time.
I had left town to go to college myself in your senior season, so I'm working off faint memory. Were there any other D1 players on your Benson squad your senior year?
We had, you know, our one of our better athletes, best athletes, was our starting quarterback for Benson at that time, Troy Berry.
I remember Troy,
and,
of course.
And yes, drafted by the, also drafted by Major League Baseball, the Phillies organization, and, of course, starting point guard basketball. And so just phenomenal athlete. But Sam Morton, Bobby Winters, Troy Berry, as I said, Virgil Goss, those different guys, Stevie Adams, all of them had a chance to play in college a little bit further down the road a couple years later.
Well, as I mentioned, I lived in Los Angeles for a long time, but I'd rather see if I can get you to remember the Benson kids than those guys that played in the NBA, because we hear about them all the time.
That's true. That's true. But no, and I appreciate you asking, because the Benson guys, and that was the beginning of it all, and so I appreciate that.
A.C. Green, I do have one question for you. What have you been able to do during your R time being away from the NBA? Have you been able to do some charitable work across high school basketball or basketball in general?
Yeah, I mean, during this time, the last 30, 40 years, you know, I've started in 1989 the A.C. Green Foundation, and we focused on educational, sports, entertainment. And so we've been trying to just pass this knowledge and this opportunity onto that next generation. We've had camps since that 80s at Benson High School and Concordia High School College at that time. And so it's been something we always wanted to give back. But every state that I've been in, from Arizona to California, we've always made sure we try to transfer the knowledge and the wisdom.
We have about a minute remaining before play resumes. So, A.C. Green, I'm going to say thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure meeting you and talking to you. I do have one last question. It does go into the NBA realm. Settle for us once and for all. Is it Michael, LeBron, or the captain?
Well, it depends which generation you ask that question to. They're going to vote for their guy, you know? And that's the fair answer, because I've had a chance to play with a number of them. But I think each person they had a chance to see the most, they're going to say, oh, this guy was the best. And then 20 years later, they're going to say somebody else was the best. So it is what it is. But I've enjoyed it, and I'm glad to have a chance to play with some really great Hall of Famers.
You certainly did, and we are certainly lucky to have you join us today. Thank you once again. And we'll enjoy watching Christian play in the second half here.
No, thank you. And thank you for continuing to cover and have an opportunity for kids to get known and spoke on, and just what Vince has always been doing from a tech standpoint. standpoint, it's been awesome. So thank you all for what you do. Thank you. All right.
Just about ready to get underway here. Again, our thanks to Benson's A.C. Green from the class of 1981, a state champion, a legend in Corvallis, and the NBA, the Iron Man, as Sean pointed out. And that, I will tell you, quite frankly, was a treat to get to chat with him today.
Oh, yeah. He's a likable fellow, no doubt about it. Very respectable, very respected athlete, not only in the Northwest, but also around basketball.
Helping out our community and making the world a better place. That's what motivates one of our KBPS seniors. Jasmine in the KBPS senior class is very passionate about community service and about helping those in need in our community. She has done some reports on KBPS on PRP, on houselessness, on drug addiction, and today, Jasmine has a special in-studio interview with the folks at the Portland Rescue Mission. We're really proud of Jasmine's work and her dedication to helping make her community a better place. Please enjoy her interview with Portland Rescue Mission.
Yes, from the Portland Rescue Mission. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Mike Deccan. I have the pleasure of being the Director of Marketing at Portland Rescue Mission, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. So I'm going to ask you a variety of questions and just do your best to answer them as much as you can.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. For listeners and students who don't know, briefly tell us about Portland Rescue Mission and what you do in our community.
I would love to. Portland Rescue Mission has been here since 1949. We say we give hope and restore life to men, women, and children who struggle with things like hunger, homelessness, and addiction. Our doors are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single day of the year. So at any point, if somebody has a need, they could come to the yellow door of our Burnside shelter. They can access meals, they can access safe shelter, a restroom, clean clothes, a shower. We can give them an address where they can keep in touch with family and friends, where they can apply for work. But most importantly, Jasmine, we offer those services because when we do so, that creates an opportunity for us to build relationships, to get to know people, to learn their names, hear their stories, and find out what their bigger needs are. Because in addition to the meals in the shelter, we're best known for the meals in the shelter that we offer at the Burnside shelter. We also have other locations where people can access programs. Maybe they just need a quick 3-month program to save up first and last month's rent while they're working. But some people needed something a little more ambitious. We also have longer programs where we can address deeper issues like addictions recovery, vocational training, job training, parenting classes. It's about giving people whatever they need to restore their lives, become self-sufficient, and put them in a position where they'll never need Portland Rescue Mission again.
That's really cool.
Thank you. I agree.
Please tell us about why it is important to have a place like Portland Rescue Mission.
Oh, what a wonderful question. It's important because people are important. And the people that we get to meet every day, the people that we have the pleasure to serve, are people who are enduring a tremendous amount of pain, a tremendous amount of isolation. They're people who are used to being ignored or stepped over or sometimes even abused. And they need so much more than just a meal or shelter. They need to know that somebody cares. They need to be able to come to a place where they can be safe, where they can catch their breath, and they can be surrounded by people that know them, know their names, know their stories, and are committed to meet them where they're at and walk with them at a pace that they can sustain as they do the difficult work of putting their lives back together.
And I really like how you say people. A lot of like with all these upcoming debates and politicians, they call homelessness a problem or something they need to fix. You consider them as actual people.
Absolutely. And I've had the pleasure to meet so many of them. And every story is different and unique and special. But if there's one thing that that's common from every person I've met over the last 22 years, it's that they never dreamed in a million years that they would need a place like Portland Rescue Mission. They never dreamed that they need a rescue mission or that they'd have to go someplace just to get a meal. So by the time they come through our door, there's not many options left for them. And that's why we leave that door open 24 hours a day. And we make sure that when they come through that yellow door at the Burnside shelter, that they're greeted by people that really care about them, volunteers, staff, and a lot of times people who've already been through the programs will come back and volunteer, or there's a lot of people currently on staff who've graduated our programs, and who better to greet them than somebody who knows exactly what they're going through.
All right, please tell us for yourself personally, how does it feel to help out our community and help our neighbors who are most in need?
There's nothing in this world I'd rather do. And the work is not easy, and the work gets more and more difficult as the need continues to get more and more difficult. But every day, our admin offices where I work, they're in our Shepherd Store location, which is our long-term recovery center for women and women with kids. So every day at lunch, I get to see the people who are on the program. I get to see them excited about what's happening in their lives. I get to see them excited about graduating, about going to a job interview. We get to see moms that are reunited with their babies about 10, 12 times a year. And it's all the encouragement you need to come back and do your very best to keep the doors open and keep the work happening every single day. So honestly, I've got one life, and there's really no other way I'd rather spend it than being a part of, you know, giving meals and shelter and opportunity for people who need it.
I also learned from your website that you actually partnered up with Starting Fresh, I think it's called, where they give opportunities to people to train under them to start learning to cook, maybe do businesses.
Oh, our Fresh Start Catering?
Yeah.
Yes, I'd love to tell you about Fresh Start Catering. That's a big part of Portland Rescue Mission, and it's freshstart.catering, if you'd like to check out the website. And when I mentioned before that we do vocational training, the Fresh Start Catering is a big part of that, where people learn how to prepare food, they learn how to prepare events, and work with customers so that when they graduate the program, they can put that on their resume and they have applicable, you know, vocational training that can help them get a job. And we also have a program in addition to Fresh Start Catering called Drive Away Hunger. And a lot of times, being a nonprofit, people will donate their cars to a nonprofit. Well, at Drive Away Hunger, we have men and women on the program who are, again, they're getting vocational training, so they're learning how to work on the cars and then learn how to sell the cars. So that increases the value of the car for the donor. They get a higher tax deduction. And then when the car sells, all the proceeds go back to providing meals and shelter and programs. But those are two opportunities for people to get a job training that's going to help them a lot later in life when they leave the mission.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
When I first saw it, I also saw the one for automotive too. So it was really cool to see that. Can you share some Portland Rescue Mission success stories with us? Tell us about some people in our community who have come to you for help, and how are they doing right now?
Great question. Probably my favorite question to answer. How they're doing right now, I can tell you that about 80% of the people who've graduated our long-term program over the last 5 years are doing fantastic. They're clean and sober and stable housing, in the workforce, and giving back to their communities. But I'd love to share one story that's very close to my heart. It was a gentleman we had a chance to meet. His name was Mark. And Mark had been on the streets for years. Ever since he came back, he was in the military. Ever since he came back to the States, he'd been struggling with homelessness. But at the same time, he continued to work. So he was staying in a mattress under a bridge. He'd get up in the morning, go to work, and that's where he would come back after his workday. Well, Mark joined our program and saw his life change in amazing ways. And also, while he was there, he built up a community around him of people who would continue to support him after he left the program. And he told us something that I'll never forget. We were there the day he got to walk into his apartment for the first time, where he held the keys in his hand. And he said, "This Thanksgiving, I could invite people over to my place." And then he stopped, and you could hear it in his voice, and you saw his eyes tearing up, and it just meant the world to him after so long to have a place that was his very own, And he's doing great today. We also have a great alumni program where we get to keep in touch with people who've been in our programs as well.
I also saw some of the stories that were posted on there for people who actually graduated your long-term process, and they are just, they sound so happy that they ended up at your door. I cannot express the emotions I feel when somebody is just happy to go, to come out of a homeless shelter, no longer living on the streets, having home, having food, having money to just pay their rent. And
yes,
it just warms my heart.
Thank you. It's happiness, and it's a lot of hope. Hope for the future, that they'll never have to experience that again. And for a lot of moms that we get to meet, it's hope that their children will never have to experience the things that they've experienced.
Can people donate art supplies, toys, or books to Portland Rescue Mission for the kids?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking. We accept those donations at our Shepherd's Door location, and you can get all the information and the address at portlandrescuemission.org. And thank you for asking.
All right. Sounds like you're really helping to save people's lives. How does it feel to save people's lives?
Oh, wow. There's been so many times where we've talked to somebody and heard their story, and they said, if it wasn't for Portland Rescue Mission, I wouldn't be alive today. And it's incredible to hear that. It's incredible to be a part of that. But it also speaks to something so much bigger, and that is the ongoing love and the ongoing support from the community. Because ever since 1949, Portland Rescue Mission has never received any government funding. So every service we offer, every single meal, every program is made possible because of donations from the community. It's neighbors helping neighbors. So in addition to people supporting the mission and making those things possible, every gift that they give also sends a message to people in need that, you know, you haven't been forgotten, and you know, we can get through this together. So it gives a lot of hope to the people in need, but it just speaks to how powerful it is when the whole community comes together and invests in the lives of people who genuinely want to do the difficult work of recovery and the difficult work of restoring their lives for them and their kids.
That warms my heart to hear. If there is someone in need that could use your help, what do they need to do?
That's a great question. It's very, very simple. If you go on to portlandrescuemission.org, portlandrescuemission.org, there's a button right on top, a big yellow button that simply says, I need help. And there's a page there that gives you all the information that you need. And we will be back in touch with you right away. And if that's somebody who needs emergency shelter for the night, or if they need one of our long-term programs, whatever the case may be, we'd be very, very excited to talk to you. And it's as simple as clicking one button that says, I need help.
All right. If a student or listener wants to help volunteer at Portland Rescue Mission to help save lives in our community, how can they help?
I love that question. Same answer as the last one. Please do check out portlandrescuemission.org, and there's a link that says ways to get involved. I would encourage you to come down and take a tour, because Portland Rescue Mission covers a lot of different bases. Sometimes people want to serve a meal. Sometimes people want to do some teaching, or maybe, you know, work with the kids in our Family Life Center. A lot of different opportunities to get involved. It's about finding the one that works for you and something that you'd be excited about. So a lot of times people will come and take a tour, and one thing will really stand out. And they're like, man, I'd love to be a part of that. And that's a great opportunity for them to get involved. And when you do, the best part of it is you get to meet the people that come to Portland Rescue Mission and hear their stories. And a lot of times over the years, I've heard this so many times, Jasmine, where somebody says, I wanted to volunteer because I wanted to make a difference in somebody else's life. But I came here and I realized they're making a difference in mine. And it changes you in the best possible way. We'd love to see you.
Hearing you say that is just like, oh my God, that sounds so amazing to just not only see the progress that other people have made and knowing that you possibly helped them, but mm-hmm. also knowing that they helped you in a way to just experience this. If there's anything else we forgot to talk about that you would like to mention, what would you like to mention? Anything else? Well, is there like school programs for the kids?
Absolutely. We have our Family Life Center for all the kids whose moms are currently on our Shepherd Store program. And we get to work with them, too, every single day. We have a library for the kids. Every day when I'm coming into the office, I'm seeing the kids get on the school bus. And as I'm leaving, I'm seeing them, you know, come off the school bus as well. So we're there to support them through through their education process as well.
Do you guys, I know some homeless shelters do not do this, but do you guys take in drug addicts? There's sometimes people like step on rules, like saying that they're not allowed to bring them in because like they might take in drugs and you're not allowed to do that. Do you guys like have people who rehabilitate themselves or have like a community session with people who have their own stories about their drug use and other stuff?
We do. As a matter of fact, we have a program for men called The Harbor, and we have a program for women and women with kids called Shepherd Store. And a big part of both of those programs is addictions recovery. And it's a longer-term program, so it really gives us an opportunity to dig deep and address not just the addictions, but what are the root causes that put somebody in a position where they gravitated towards drugs in the first place, and work with them in overcoming their addiction and then building the support structure that they need so that they don't relapse after they leave. And that's our alumni program. It's getting them involved with positive, healthy community that'll support them every step of the way and just keeping in touch with them as much as we can. So addiction plays a big part in men, women, and kids who are struggling with homelessness. So we want to make sure that we're meeting every need that we possibly can, and that's a big one.
I think that's everything for today. Thank you for so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing this wonderful organization who is not funded by the government, but is funded by the community who wants to help make a difference.
Well, Jasmine, I just want to say thank you again for having us, for helping to share the story of Portland Rescue Mission. And if anybody would like to find out more or possibly come down and take a tour, you can get all the information you need at portlandrescuemission.org.
No one in sight, baby, it's just you and I. You're my main attraction, taking me way down. Now we are just feeling alone tonight, alone tonight. Baby, you're the one that's on my mind, on my mind. But I'm not coming home tonight, home tonight. Home tonight, home tonight, home tonight.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
Like it's 1985, no one in sight. Maybe it's just you and I. You're my main attraction. Don't keep me waiting.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.